Let's bring in Talin Papazian, a French-Armenian political scientist and strategic affairs analyst at Sciences Po University. Great to have you on France 24 tonight, Talin. First of all, just if you want the voters going to the polling booth today, what was their choice? What were they voting for?
They're voting for three things. First, they're voting to tell the world whether Armenia is following the democratization path that it has chosen or not. That's one thing. Electoral democracy in Armenia has had a good record for now almost 6 years, let's say. So that's one stake. The second stake is definitely whether Armenians want to go on with the peace process with Azerbaijan and following that with Turkey as well, because normalization with both countries are in the picture and somehow related with Nagorno-Karabakh conflict, both of them. And the third stake is whether Armenians want to follow and to continue and to deepen decolonization from Russia, so decoupling Armenia from Russia, which has been a very important trend in the last, let's say, 4 to 5 years. So basically, that's the three stakes for Armenian voters today.
They are three big issues. Let's try and look at them one by one. So first of all, you have the sense the incumbent prime minister saying he's reframing how Armenia should be seen by Armenians. He calls it real Armenia. Now, this talks of both Nagorno-Karabakh, and you talk about accepting the settlement. And we'll talk in a minute about the Turkish element. But this goes beyond the conflict. It's also about, am I right to say, Azerbaijan are looking at the constitution in Armenia as well and saying change the constitution, because you mentioned Nagorno-Karabakh, that has to disappear as well.
Yes, absolutely. So Pashinyan has indeed been campaigning for real Armenia. And we have to say that among all the candidates for this election, he is the only one that has a very clear, consistent program. Whether people like it or not, we will know in, just a couple of hours from now. And so his concept is that from now on, Armenians should, if I put it very simply, stop dreaming or living in their past and dreaming or living through memories and territories that were formerly theirs in the sense that Armenians used to live there, whether it's the Ottoman Empire, whether it's Nagorno-Karabakh, and they should reinforce and build the future of their country with their children and the generations to come in Armenia proper, in the internationally recognized borders of Armenia. So it's in a way, it's very it might sound very primitive to say it that way, and people would wonder, well, what with the big discovery? But the problem is that the Nagorno-Karabakh conflict has been so important in the trajectory of building the Armenian post-Soviet statehood that turning that page, as the prime minister says it, it comes with a very heavy price for Armenians. People have fled Nagorno-Karabakh. Armenians have fled Nagorno-Karabakh 3 years ago. It's nothing. It's like a minute in these people's life, and they have lost everything. So it's really a very big and fundamental change. And that change is it is rooted in the decolonization process. Because basically, when you take out the conflict from the hands of Russia, which is what Armenia and the government of Armenia has been doing, you can finally reassess your will to act in a sovereign manner. So basically, that's the stake, very simply put.
And the unraveling or the decoupling, to the extent of that, we'll get onto in a moment too. I want to talk about Turkey, which you mentioned a moment ago. If you're sitting, I talked about some of the beautiful buildings of Yerevan. If you're looking up, you can see in the mountains, you'll see Mount Ararat. Mount Ararat has become a flashpoint in this election.
A flashpoint, I don't know, but it has become something in the whole ideological process that consists in moving from a set of references that are very important to Armenians, and they will remain important no matter what this election proves, because nobody can take Ararat from people's hearts, and it's not what is at stake here. What is at stake here is not to turn Ararat into a political issue.
So basically, this is, you can see it beautiful behind you, this is the mountain. It's on the Turkish side of the border.
Yes.
And it's on the passport. It was on a passport. Pashinyan took it off the passport, this image. It was part of the crown, was it, as well, of Armenia. And the plan is to take it off the kind of the crest of Armenia. And therefore make it kind of look elsewhere. Look at, there's another mountain called Ararat. This one has connections and connotations to legend, to Noah's Ark as well. So that's why this has become an issue for some.
Yes, of course. And it's on the coat of arms of Armenia. It's everywhere. So basically, you cannot take Ararat from everywhere it is in Armenia. It's ridiculous. You would have to change the soccer club names. You would have to change brandy bottles, marketing. So it's not even that. I mean, it's not about that, really. I think people who overemphasize that issue do it on purpose because they know it's a weak point and they know people will react. But, you know, it's not emotions that should be playing here. It's really more the rationality and the rationality to strengthen sovereignty, to decouple in the minds of Armenians, to decouple the territorial claim or the connection between territories that were formerly inhabited by Armenians with the future of their countries. What's at stake, really?
So basically, so Pajasyan is saying that this, the rhetoric over those things at the moment is a burden to the modern state. Actually, to help us move on, we need to actually look at what is real Armenia, a more sovereign state, even if it's smaller, bear in mind Nagorno-Karabakh. Can I mention something else? If we mention the opposition, the main opposition right now appears to be Samvel Karapetyan, under house arrest, able to vote. Mm-hmm. What do we need to know about him?
Well, you need to know that he's a billionaire. You have said it. He's tied to Russia. So there is a lot of questioning about whether somebody who is so deeply financially with his business, with his trajectory, also personal trajectory. I mean, he did his business in Russia for decades before moving to Armenia, can really be someone who has at heart the interests of Armenia, conceived from Armenia, and not conceived as a peripheral state of Russia, which is basically what Armenia has been trying to renege, you know, to shift. So in Europe or in the Western analysis, there is often this misconception that Armenia is pivoting to the West. What is happening in Armenia is not a geopolitical pivot, first and foremost. It's really a quest for sovereignty. And because sovereignty is something that is so alien to Russia's Putin, then you have the geopolitical layer that comes with it.
Briefly, that's worth saying. So if you look at the decoupling, I think almost all of the military and weaponry came from Russia before. I think after 2022, it's now around 43% comes from India. They've divested. But it's the economy, it's the reliance on gas, it's a reliance on oil. And we're not hearing from the Prime Minister incumbent saying, we want to immediately join the EU. There's a measurement here.
Absolutely. And I mean, Armenia is being prudent. Armenia has paid a very heavy price in the past years with the Nagorno-Karabakh conflict, the 2020 war, and then the ethnic cleansing. And Armenia has been watching. I mean, it's not the first time that the economic threats are played out by Russia. Mm-hmm. Everybody knows that Ukraine is fighting not only for Ukraine, but for a number of post-Soviet states that are trying very hard to struggle for more sovereignty. So Armenia is being prudent. Armenia knows its size. Armenia knows its dependency, knows that gas is coming from Russia. So, you know, they are playing sort of the game where they're staying in the Eurasian Economic Union and making, proposing Russia with alternatives that are rational, but that will be always refused by Russia because Russia doesn't want and is not interested in finding formulas that make the post-Soviet states more sovereign, more independent, more economically viable. So at the end of the day, Yerevan will have to make a choice, but it goes there very slowly, very prudently, very carefully.
Very brief point. When might we have an indication of which way it's going or gone?
You mean for the elections,
tonight,
right?
Yes.
Not for the okay. We will have an indication in the next hour, I believe. But from what I am hearing from my friends, my you know colleagues that are there, what I can say is that participation is very high, not abnormally high, but high, and that climate is not tense in the city.
You've ended it at just the right point. But the headlines are upon us. Talin Papazian, political scientist and analyst at Science Po.